Beautiful. Happy 2024, everyone.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, 2024, eh?
So, Laura, you picked the film. Film 101. You picked Carry On Poirot. I mean, Evil Under the Sun. 1982.
Yes.
Our first sequel in the film club, I believe.
I don't know if it's a sequel. I don't know if you can call it a sequel if you've got the same actors playing different characters.
Yes, maybe not. Well, it's another one in the another one of the Peter Ustinov Poirot trilogy.
Yes.
So we had Death on the Nile, which I had the treat of watching at Christmas again.
So it's fresh in your mind for comparison. Yeah,
exactly, fresh in my mind. Why'd you pick this one?
Who knows?
Probably you.
It wasn't on my list, but I had seen it and I thought it was fun. And I, for some mad reason, thought it would win me back some points. I thought you might enjoy it. I don't know.
Points?
You know, I feel like I had a long-standing reputation as someone who picks the worst films.
Oh, yeah, that's
well,
true.
Me and Fernando could probably vie for that title.
No, I think we decided it was you after all.
Yeah. So here's a little
Fernando's
treat.
Usually of some artistic merit that we don't understand.
You're saying Highlander didn't have artistic merit?
Yes.
That's exactly what we're saying. That's what we all said at the time. So Evil Under the Sun, though.
How's it look? Like colourful, camp, vibrant.
Yep.
Mustaches. Disgusting looking 70s food.
Have a sausage, dear.
I'm very keen to know what you all think.
Well.
Yeah, I'm
Claire?
Keen to know as well. So it was a bit melodramatic. But I enjoyed watching it.
Oh, good.
I love a good murder mystery, and it was a good murder mystery.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think I'm very much in the same boat, or on the same island. This was one of those that this isn't going to go down in movie history as one of the greats, but very nice for a couple of evenings with a glass of wine, sunlit, not too challenging. A nice little twist here and there. Yeah, I enjoyed the ride. A gentle ride down a lazy river.
It was gentle. Yeah. Fernando?
I also enjoyed it. I thought it was, just similar to Death on the Nile. Also enjoyable.
Laura?
Yeah, same. You know, it's... not my favourite film, but it's fun.
Mm.
What a pleasant time I had watching it.
Yeah.
Consensus, a resounding.
Wow. Yeah. Pretty good. Some standout actors, I suppose. I really enjoy some of the performances. That's what I think.
Me too.
I enjoy the most.
Who was your favourite and why was it Maggie Smith?
She was fantastic.
I just loved her sniping at Arlena.
So good. When she flicks the scarf into her face at the end of the song.
Arlena and I were in the chorus of a show together. Not that I could ever compete. Even in those days, she could always throw her legs up in the air higher than any of us. And wider.
Says, oh, you must be so famished from waiting so long in your room.
Yeah.
Absolutely smashed it, though. She properly committed again, makes such a difference.
Yeah, what an actor.
I mentioned on my Letterboxd, but I've been watching a run of films with Maggie Smith and she's a complete bitch in all of them. It's great.
Excellent. Typecast. Yeah, it was good. This was nowhere near the standard of Death on the Nile, right?
I'm torn.
It was like Death on the Nile, but they'd like decided to throw taste out the window and just go for like having a bit of fun.
Yeah.
It was like they were on holiday when they made it.
Yes, yeah,
whereas
I can see
Death
that.
Death on the Nile, they did when they were taking it seriously.
I think there might be more They might have more in common than we might think. I think the twist is ridiculous in both. Like, both got the most ludicrous stretches your belief beyond anything.
It was complex, wasn't it? But was it really outside? I mean, well, so here's the question. As usual in this film, I took the time to send my prediction to Liz after we had the murder. And Claire did the same. So I guess we could talk about whether we saw it coming, how much of it we figured out. I don't mind telling you, I was fucking miles off. I was never, not even close on any point. But I think Claire's maybe going to surprise us.
Oh, because I absolutely nailed it, you mean? Kind of.
Have you talked about this?
We just had a brief mention of it. Mm-hmm. It was a tantalizing discussion where I wanted to know more.
You might have noticed me cheering during the reveal.
Yes, you looked very pleased with yourself.
So, immediately post-murder.
Yep.
I thought it was Linda.
Right.
Yep. But I'd worked out that Arlena had been in the cave.
Well done. How did you work that out?
Because of the smell of the perfume. Because he sniffed.
Yep.
I was like, oh, there was a thing about her putting perfume on earlier.
Well done.
And then, I think just before the big reveal, I made some scribbles in my notebook. Maybe I could read them to you.
Yes.
Would you like to hear?
Yes, please.
Okay, so. Patrick and his wife. She set the watch to the wrong time. Linda couldn't hear in the water, so missed the gun. Therefore, wife has no alibi. She has bathed before playing tennis. That's why she's late. Is Patrick protecting her? Or have they got some sort of scam going? That was my conclusion.
Oh my god, you were on the money.
I did are not see the fake tag.
Christie?
Yeah, the clues were all there.
They were all there.
All you had to do was exercise the little grey sense.
The little grey sense.
That's sensational. I have no idea how you got that.
No, like, never
got
a million
that much
years.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Well, the point.
Someone was paying attention.
You need to. So I was looking for someone to not have an alibi. Everyone had an alibi, so someone didn't. And it was just working out how someone might not have an alibi, and it had to be the timelines being screwed up.
Wow. You should retrain.
I should do, shouldn't I?
Mm.
As Poirot.
Belgian, yeah.
So, now I think this is impressive on Claire's part, but I think this also says something about the quality of the film. Because we were there saying, like, oh, I'd never have got this. Like, is it just contrived nonsense that you'd never figure out? And for Claire to have actually got that does suggest that this was a really well laid out mystery with a believable conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, definitely. I always think there's no way anyone could get that. Like on Death on the Nile, you're a bit like, God, you really have to.
Yeah, see, I got to the end of that and I didn't feel satisfied. I didn't feel like the running along the side of the boat was really satisfactory.
But I suppose we saw Arlena running before the murder. So it wasn't like it came out of the blue of being like, oh, so she had to like run.
Yeah, we kind of knew that you could get across the island by going over land, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
We just thought that there wasn't quite enough time. That was laid out well.
Yeah.
And the reveal was there is enough time if you do this thing with the watch. And that was quite good.
Yeah. Yeah, so at first I thought it was Linda because I thought she was lying about the time she was seen on the watch.
I see.
But she wasn't. She was saying what she saw, like she was on catchphrase.
Yeah. Great work.
What was your prediction, Michael?
I thought it was Myra Gardner. And I thought it was because Arlena was...
Odell!
Well, what the hell do we do now, Odell?
Just leave it to me. I'll think of something.
My hero. I swear, if you were a man, I would divorce you.
A sudden attack of gold digging.
I thought it was Sorry. Maybe because Mr. Gardner was having a secret affair with Arlena that was only very subtly hinted at, and I was not close.
He has a stud muffin, to be fair.
Oh yeah,
James Mason, he's still looking good after an old friend of ours, of course.
Yep.
23 years after Journey to the Centre of the Earth, he's still giving to the film club. he's aged a century. He was still great, though. Great actor.
I love James Mason.
Yeah. Yeah, really good stuff.
Long may we have many more of his films.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Okay, so you thought it was Myra.
Who did you think it was?
I'm trying to remember because I watched this.
Oh, you didn't get on the record.
I don't think I wrote it down.
Fernando, did you get it?
Oh, no, I didn't get it. But when it was revealed, I was like, oh, I should have seen it. Because on Death of the Nile, it's the same thing, right? The couple are the one mm-hmm. who murdered the person. So it's more or less similar to what happened in Death of the Nile, maybe?
I thought, yeah, I had that exact thought that it's a bit of a recycled plot.
Oh, I see.
Harsh.
Come on, Agatha. You've only churned out like 60 of them.
Wait, so how similar was it? It's not like the same person that did the murder in the end. Oh, it was the couple working together.
Yeah. You've got a kind of broken couple who are sort of, well, in Death and Nile, obviously, they're broken up. Because he's gone off with the glamorous sort of film star.
Yeah.
In this one, you've got a broken couple where the man has gone off with the glamorous film star. It turns out it was all a ploy just to get the glamorous woman's money, and the woman was in on it pretty much from the beginning, but still done in a fresh way.
Yep. And I loved particularly Christine, how she turned evil after we knew it was her.
Well, what a transformation.
Yeah, and we had another slow clap.
I love the slow clap.
Again, in the same trilogy.
And that, mesdames, mademoiselles, messieurs, is the story of the murder of Arlena Marshall. The only thing they had not foreseen was the presence on this island of Hercule Poirot.
The well-known romancer and teller of tales.
Excellent plotline. Imaginatively conceived. Good, clear narrative style. I'll give you 9 out of 10, Poirot. I'm deducting 1 mark for total absence of proof.
Superb.
I'm disappointed if there's not a slow clap.
Very entertaining, Mr. Poirot. 9 marks out of 10, but I had to deduct 1 mark for a lack of proof. You have this a different way of saying it every time.
I can't remember my actual. Oh, sorry.
Is the proof in the end just the signature on the check? Because that's pretty flimsy.
I think that was Poirot's bit of drama he threw in. He was already waiting for the confirmation. He'd sent for papers, like including a photo of them from Yorkshire, yeah. Right? Yeah, and I think he just wanted to trap them in front of everybody to make a show of it as well.
Oh, he's such a drama queen.
I love Poirot in this. He's so, again, so over the top.
I thought
ridiculous.
He excelled himself. This is where it might trump Death on the Nile, which is that he just added so much more panache.
Hammed it up, is what you mean. Ridiculously. If Death on the Nile was kind of believable, it was like, okay, he's a big, bold character, and this, he was a cartoon character. It's ridiculous.
I loved him swimming, or pretending to swim, just paddling about in the water.
You saw me swimming?
Loved doing magic tricks for Linda that didn't go well.
That was beautiful. I loved that moment.
I loved him getting the train just so he could have a massive pudding.
I like when he told that secretary how to pronounce his name at the start. He was like, I saw you are bestowing a gift.
That's really good.
Lovely stuff. I was going to say about my predictions. I can't remember if I had any. I definitely didn't get it right. But I think in Agatha, there's always a little bit of a formula. Whereas everyone who's presented as a viable suspect can't have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like the vast majority of the group, you can write them off. Like Maggie Smith and Rex and the gardeners are all of the same class.
Yeah, I kind of thought that Myra, there hadn't been enough of her, but she was out of pocket because Arlene left the show, right?
Yes.
But I thought there wasn't enough there. I thought everybody they didn't even really bother with her.
Yeah, she wasn't a red herring, really, so that does label her as a potential.
But somehow I didn't spot Patrick, who, of course, you know, was having an affair with Arlena, and there was no reason to think that he had a motive to kill her. So I should have spotted it.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Also, him being the sort of least likely person because he discovered the body. So you think it couldn't possibly have been him.
Okay, I tend to put more suspicion on the person who discovered the body.
I see. Well.
But I haven't read as many of these as you have.
Well, I mean, I still almost never get it, so.
Ah.
And if I do get it, it's never because I followed the clues. I was totally. I remember the first time I watched this being totally bamboozled by his list of being like, the bottle, the noonday gun.
I wish you to consider very carefully a bathing cap, a bath, a bottle, a wristwatch, the diamond, the noonday gun, the breath of the sea, and the height of the cliff. From that, you should be able to solve it yourselves.
swimming cap, bath. So, what? Yes. Are you having a stroke?
Yeah, when he listed all that stuff, I thought I just realised how out of contention I was and how far I was from understand. I hadn't just made a little mistake and got it wrong. I just hadn't even started trying to work it out, as it turns out.
Yeah. Who were our favourite characters? Or should we go through the plot?
We could try. There was a lot going on, though.
There was a lot going on.
So there was the dead woman whose nostrils were flaring at the start.
Yeah, her chest was also very heavily moving up and down.
How crap is that? How much money do they spend on this film? They couldn't just... And she was only on the screen for like 2 seconds. And they had to use the 2 seconds where she could actually have just held her breath. But no,
how much was she breathing if that was the clip that they had to show?
Yeah, exactly. She's like hyperventilating.
Heaving away, yeah.
I don't know. I liked Horace. I liked his...
Oh, do you mean Michael Palin from Monty Python?
You come out here, and as near as damn it, accuse me. Horace Blatt of fraud. Do you seriously think that I'd cheat the insurance company over one bloody jewel? I am worth millions, Poirot.
Nevertheless, I'm afraid it's quite worthless, monsieur.
I'm going to wring her bloody neck.
Exactly. Yep.
Everyone said I was daft to build a castle on a swamp, but I built it all the same. It's not good to the swamp, so I built a second one. I'm doing a lot of impressions as usual.
Michael Palin was no less believable playing that character than this guy was playing Horace. He made me think of Mr. Salt in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so you liked Horace.
I liked Horace. I liked... Daphne, Maggie Smith's character.
Wonderful.
Was just brilliant. I mean, they were all good, weren't they?
They all played their parts very well.
I think those were the two that I really had a lot of fun with.
Fernando, did you have a favourite?
My favourite was Nicholas Clay as Patrick Redfern.
Because he was handsome.
Because he was handsome.
Yeah.
He was handsome.
I like to take the little pants.
I couldn't stand his smug face.
He did have a smug face.
He really wanted chucking in a cold bath, didn't he?
And a very ropey Irish accent, I have to say.
Okay. I forgot he was Irish every single time he spoke. It's like, oh yeah, you're Irish, aren't you?
We'll have to pay, darling. So that was better than his one.
He was the only really handsome one, wasn't he?
Well, apart from Poirot, of course.
Yeah, apart from Poirot, yes.
That's still a reasonably good looking cast. Well, in a 70s sort of way.
Yes.
You know, Arlena was reasonably good. She looked like she smoked 40 cigarettes a day, but, you know.
Yeah, she didn't look great. Daphne, Maggie Smith in a...
Always beautiful.
A fairly attractive role, which is... I've not seen anything with her that young, except, like, something where she's overtly, like, asexual. That was interesting.
What was that?
Well, Death on the Nile, they did that. She was, like, very deliberately...
Yes.
Yeah.
Jane Birkin's quite good looking.
Who was that?
What's her name? The white.
Christine. Yeah.
In a very she looked French like
she's about to faint the whole time.
Yes, really only till the end where she really came into herself.
Yeah, got a bit of confidence back. I loved all of the double entendres. There was one that I nearly missed. When they were talking to Arlena, and Arlena had been in the boat with Patrick, and she said he rowed me round the island. It's much bigger than I thought.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, there was something about sausages that I didn't quite understand, but I'm pretty sure that was meant to be it. There was the legs higher and wider than the rest of us. I think there was more, wasn't there?
Oh, probably. I mean, right after the boat as well, she says, poor thing, he's exhausted. And Maggie Smith goes, like, no wonder.
Yeah, okay. It's just silly. I think having the, like, camp man in a sailor outfit really put the cap on it. It's basically like, yes, this is a 70s carry-on film.
Yeah.
Not a lot of credibility from that point.
I liked Rex. I thought he was a good character.
Oh, he was so... I mean, he was a good comedian.
Over the top.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Like, compare it to Death on the Nile, where they were big characters, but remember Betty Davis's character in that?
Mm.
You couldn't take your eyes off her. Mia Farrow and... if that's her name.
Yes.
And yeah, the guy that they had some, there was something real about the way they were acting. Something about these characters that you could really believe in, even if they were a bit colourful. Whereas this, it was just totally off the wall in a way that I quite liked.
Possibly lacked a bit of substance.
It was a bit like The Mummy compared to The Mummy Returns. Like the first one's a comedy, but the second one's a farce.
Yeah, I suppose I could see that. I don't know. I think they're just different genres. Like, The Mummy Returns is a bit crap.
Yeah.
A bit crap. I'm not sure.
It is a bit crap. And then this is part of this. This is a bit crap as well. No. Do you remember when he says the name of the film?
Yes.
It's so blissful here, so tranquil, so far from all violence. Trouble.
Yes, you're right, madame. The sky is blue, the sun is shining, and yet you forget that everywhere there is evil under the sun.
How cheesy was that?
So out of place in the conversation as well.
Just didn't really have. Yeah. Where did that come from? Like, after all, madame, we must remember that there is always evil under the sun. 1982, a 20th century Fox production.
Yeah.
And then the camera pans up to show you the sun, as if you hadn't realised the sun was there.
Don't you remember in Death on the Nile where he says, remember, madame, there is always a death on the Nile.
I actually don't remember that.
What did we think of Linda? We haven't mentioned Linda.
Oh, yeah, she was all right. I don't know how she... late 70s, early 80s. That's what children looked like at that time. And I don't get it. Like, every teenager in, like, TV shows and... even like real life, like documentaries and stuff that were that age at that time sort of spoke like that and acted like that, and maybe it was something to do with the hair.
Look, why don't you stop asking me all these silly questions about Christine? She couldn't have murdered Arlena. Neither could I. That slimy Rex Booster's the one you should be talking to. He hated Arlena. He's the one who really wanted her dead.
But it's like, as soon as she started talking, I thought, oh, she's not in the 30s. She's in the like late 70s, early 80s. And I don't know what that was. Like, she's on Blue Peter or something.
I know what you mean.
I don't get it.
I can't put my finger on it either.
Yeah.
Hmm.
She was nice, though. I liked how aggressive she was.
A complete brat. She was all right. Yeah. I liked her.
I mean, she had the worst stepmother, right?
True.
she maybe went a bit far. What was she meant to be, 14?
She tried to
15?
Hang a man.
That's true. Yeah, she's pretty bloodthirsty, actually.
I just announced to Poirot that she was glad that she was dead.
Yes. Yeah, that was a bit... when she was a suspect, that was quite a confident approach.
I'm sure she did have a way of speaking. There was... I feel another impression coming on. But I can say there's no appetite for it, so I guess I'll save it for myself.
Oh, all right.
Was that you being heard?
I don't really have a voice for that. Go on, give
coming
us give your best.
Talk to very strange men.
Darling, didn't anyone ever tell you that peevishness is unbecoming in young ladies?
No. But they told me not to talk to very strange men.
Have you been working on these?
No, I wouldn't say a hand.
You nailed all of them so far.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I was repeating their words as they were on, but I do that with every film, so.
You must be great to watch a film with. I think I might have run out of things to say, so maybe I should stop talking and see what other people think.
Me too. I've covered all my notes. Woman is clearly breathing. I like the comment when she said, have a long, peaceful rest. As in, you know, die. And all the food looks disgusting.
I didn't notice this with the food.
Oh, you should... All, like, little uncooked cocktail sausages with, like, a cherry, glazed cherry on a cocktail stick.
Okay.
Like, arranged over a semicircle. So they're all poking out, like, on top of a bowler hat sort of shape.
Yeah, okay.
Awful. And I don't know if that's what food was meant to look like in the 30s or if that's 70s food. It looks like 70s food to me.
Sounds a bit 70s, doesn't it? There was the famous pineapple and cheddar on cocktail sticks era.
Well, we can always give symbolism a go, or I could make everyone say their favourite scene.
That's a good one. Well, any other like notes, general notes from Claire or Fernando?
I didn't take any notes.
Oh, well, I guess not then.
So no.
I've crossed out quite a few things on the little mind map I've done.
Oh, I'd like to see your mind map. He said that to the...
I thought he was called Fred, and I thought they were Fred and Daphne, and then I was like, no, that can't be right. I mixed up who Myra was. Yeah, I've got Fred crossed out, Rustler crossed out, Booster crossed out, Brewster written correctly, and Rex written correctly. And the only thing I've not crossed out at any point is gay in brackets. This was another of the films I watched when I was very drunk. I made one drink and I just made it too strong by accident, and it was basically like having two drinks and I was just all over the place. Dreadful. That was the first half. The second half I was stone cold sober.
Oh man. Oh, you're never going to solve a mystery if you're drunk for the first half.
No, well, I thought I had. I thought it was Myra.
I don't think Myra would have been satisfying enough. It's not a big enough twist. It's sort of like, oh yeah, that woman who hates her.
I mean, if it's because Mr. Gardner is having an affair with Arlene, that's a satisfying twist, or at least a big twist.
Did you find the twist ridiculous at all? Because there was a lot of different elements. They relied on chance a lot. They depended on Arlena wearing a hat, for one.
Yeah. Maybe she always wears a hat. Maybe that's an obvious thing.
A big hat that could be put over her face. She wore swimming cap type, bejeweled swimming cap to dinner sometimes. But I guess in the day she did wear a variety of those kinds of hats.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they could bank on it.
Maybe she always wears that kind of thing when she's sunbathing.
Yeah, that's true.
You need a sun hat.
I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, that it seemed to me more satisfying than, again, Death on the Nile, where anybody could have just happened to walk along that side of the boat at that time, and he just got lucky and they didn't. The whole thing would have been completely ruined if anyone had come out of, like there was a massive to-do and everyone heard a gunshot, and yet he still managed to just slip down the side of the boat. That didn't really stand up to scrutiny to me. But this, yeah, she managed to plan it, and she planned it properly and knew where Arlena was going, and yeah, there was something in it.
Yeah, I guess it was a pretty good plan. I don't know, there was a lot of different elements to it, though. The fake tan on the hands, having to get back and have a bath. What if someone else had a bath? There'd be no water.
Yeah.
But I guess the point was that nobody was having a bath because it was a hot day. If I'd been in the hotel, though, the risk would have been very real indeed.
It's a strange time to have a bath. Snip pas, mademoiselle. Are you an all-day bather?
Oh, bathe any time. But not anywhere.
Okay, that's good.
I'm tired. I also had very little sleep last night. But for no really good excuse. I just had a 9 a.m. tutorial and I couldn't sleep because I knew I'd have to get up in 7 hours.
Bad luck.
Yeah.
7 hours, that sounds good.
Cats going in and out. Oh, I didn't get 7 hours. Sorry, I forget who I'm talking to. I really am very privileged. To me, that's not enough sleep.
I mean, to me, a year ago, that wouldn't have been enough sleep either. That's really, really changed my perspective on things, having a baby. Right, in the interest of being done in the next 11 minutes then, what?
So the other thing I want to know is if any scenes stood out to you. Did you have favourite scenes? And who would we cast ourselves as? We've got an ensemble cast.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. I thought the denouement was particularly good in this one.
Madame, there is nothing like a good night's rest to clear the little grey cells. Kindly ask all our friends to foregather in the lounge after they've finished their petit déjeuner, when all will be revealed.
What?
You mean you know?
Oh, yeah.
It was big. It was over the top. It had a lot of twists and turns. The final reveal scene.
Fernando?
Oh, I just don't know. Well, maybe my favorite scene would be when Arlena and what's her name? And Myra?
Daphne?
No.
Oh, yeah, Daphne.
Well, when they were playing the piano, and who would I cast myself as? I would be Arlena Stewart Marshall.
I was going to say that for you. She has a magnetism.
I think you've got a kinder heart, Fernando.
Yes, that's true.
Thank you.
Can I just say my favorite scene? I think my favorite scene might have been the cocktail evening before the piano song, because it's just where they're all going around and exchanging jibes. Really just Maggie Smith and Arlena. That's when she goes up to her and it's like, have a sausage, dear. Must be famished waiting all that time in your room. Fantastic. I also just Rex or something? And Myra's telling him that her best friend was something something. Do you remember this? It was such a small line, but it just made me laugh. And then James Mason is like, and Myra's best friend. Myra's like, I just told him that. You probably don't remember, but it was great.
I don't remember.
Okay. I didn't tell it very well either. So. Great scene.
I'll have to take your word for it. Yes, I would like to be Mr. Gardner.
Yep.
I love he just, like, he's just sitting in the garden reading a book, like playing some pool, even when he's being questioned, like, might get sentenced to death. He's like, well, I don't have an alibi. That's all there is to it. Some people don't have alibis, and, like, haunting him.
And now, Monsieur Poirot, I'm not as lucky as my dear wife. I have absolutely no alibi. I was sitting over there on a stone bench reading my book, and between the hours of 11 and 12:15, I didn't move. Now, I'm well aware, Monsieur Poirot, that in your world, when a murder takes place, everyone automatically comes up with a watertight alibi. However, I belong to that great world of millions of innocent men and women who, curiously enough, don't have the foresight to provide themselves with an alibi when a murder is taking place of which they know absolutely nothing. Consequently, as I was guilelessly reading my book, there was no gardener to come trotting by, respectfully touching his forelock and registering the time on his grandfather's turnip watch. In short, Monsieur Poirot, I don't have the ghost of an alibi. Of course, I could have scampered over the top of that peak like a mountain goat and swarmed down the famous steps we've all heard about, and then crept up on Arlene and strangled her with these powerful hands of mine. But unfortunately for you, I did no such thing. So you see, I have a big, fat motive, but no alibi. Next question?
Just to have that level of not giving a fuck, I really appreciated that. I'd really like to be that guy when I'm that old. And what a voice.
Great voice.
Yeah.
I can't do an impression of him. I've tried.
Mr. Poirot.
That's good.
Not everybody fits into your neat little boxes.
Oh, that's really good.
Thank you. I have a bit of a cold. I think that's doing a lot for me.
They've got the gravelly tenor of it. I'd like to be Horace. Horace or Myra.
All right, I'll tell you this much. A couple of months back, I met a certain lady in New York. She told me she was so madly in love with me that she'd leave the show she was in, she was an actress, you know, and come back to England with me on the Queen Mary and marry me. So I bought her this stone from Tiffany's. Then halfway across the Atlantic, she changed her mind and ran off with another man. Well, I wouldn't have minded so much, only she took the jewel with her. You see, that wasn't a fair do. You see, I had given it in contemplation of marriage. And frankly, $100,000 is a bit much to pay for 3 days fumbling on the high seas.
Oh, monsieur, who can put a price on les affaires du cœur?
Well, I bloody can. And this was too high.
I gave this daft woman another diamond.
£100,000, bit much for a 3 day fumble on the high seas.
Oh, wasn't it a silly film? Yeah, great stuff. Are there any other games we play? I forget.
We haven't played symbolism. Not that that's really a game.
We've done innuendo. Is that good enough? That's normally what it turns into anyway when we do symbolism.
Symbolism. I mean, there's probably something if we dig around, but we're going to wrap this baby up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 5 minutes.
If you're not watching The Traitors, by the way, you should be.
I'm not. Tell you what I am watching tomorrow, the bloody Gladiators reboot.
Right, yes.
Presented by Bradley Walsh and his son.
And his son?
His son.
What the hell's his son doing there?
Of which he has one. but that's by the by.
Any symbolism, quickly. Do we have a bell or should we chant? Excellent, thank you.
Yeah, first in a run of another 100. If we don't do it now, we're never going to do it. Maybe we should stop doing symbolism.
It's a tenet.
Okay, the island was a symbol.
Great.
Done.
Brilliant. The red nails.
The red nails, they were a symbol. blood. Okay, yep. They're playing tennis. Tennis involves balls.
Andy Murray.
Balls are...
The whole thing was a symbol for Andy Murray's tennis career.
Yes. Just struggling balls. To get back to...
Balls.
Balls, yeah. It's all sailor about outfits. Balls. Sailor outfits.
Sausages.
Something there. I just can't quite put my enormous finger on it. Sorry.
Eggs. Eggs
just
in
saying
pockets.
Random words now.
No, I'm sticking with the theme.
Oh, he makes the egg disappear. Thank you, everyone.
That's great.
This is a good film.
I have one
Laura,
final thought.
You. Oh.
I think I do prefer Peter Ustinov to David Suchet now.
Wow.
I was always team David Suchet. There's just something about Peter Ustinov that's so compelling. I think David Suchet's more faithful to the books. Like, yeah, he's stepped out of the pages.
A bit more subtlety as well.
Subtlety?
Yeah.
Subtlety?
Yeah, he's not quite as in your face as Peter Ustinov.
I did enjoy him being punched in the face, unfortunately. Thought that was a good final punch to end on.
He felt
not
like he had it coming.
Bar on the face.
Again, a bit lighter than Death on the Nile, yeah. Where they just kill themselves, like
double suicide,
like in all of them. This must be quite a rare one that they didn't do that.
I know, the first one I've read in a long while. They don't just top themselves.
Great stuff.
Wonderful. Well. Here comes the music.
Yeah.
Thanks all.
Once a wrap. 101 meetings.
Wow. Three, two, one.
Scissors.
Rock.
Oh, it's yours, Fernando.
Well, it's my turn now.
Yeah. Pick a film.
Oh, wow. Well, in that case, I do have a film.
Ah.
Mm.
Let me open a book because I know of this film because of the book that I'm reading. So opening the book and...
this is promising.
Bicycle Thieves. Okay, so the name of the film is Bicycle Thieves, 1948.
Right.
Old.